Body Time Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Woodworth. Thank you so much for joining us on this installment and bringing us into your homes, your lives, and letting us, you know, just fuck your wife. That's what this is all about. I'm showing off because I'm doing the intro in front of Jeremy. So anyway, it's a great episode. We get to learn about how Jeremy's a drug trafficker now. He hasn't killed any rats. Ashley might have tried to commit suicide. It's a really happy episode. Get ready, get strapped in. But if you could do us a kindness, you love the content we put out every week, hop on the Apple Podcast, the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on, leave some nice comments and a 5-star rating. It costs you absolutely nothing and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for Jack Frost.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Very beautiful Asian, young Asian woman. And I had mentioned to her that her and her boyfriend, I was like, you know, if I was on, you know, good old Pornhub, I see the thumbnail with you two. And then he's like, that's our mom and dad at the next table. And I was like, oh. If I was on my Christian website and I saw the thumbnail for your Bible study, wink, like this, I would 100% click on it.
I am so sorry.
It was very, very, no, it crushed. Whole segment was a good killer moment of the show.
Well, I had fun at B Street the other night. Literally, it's a minute walk from the apartment. And I explained to the locals, I was like, oh, like how serendipitous this was. Hi, Jeremy.
Wow, hey. Look at you with your fancy words like serendipitous.
Serendipitous. And I said to the audience, I was like, my landlord told me when I moved in here, she was like, just so you know, 6 people have died in this apartment. and I was like, okay, cool, get ready for number 7. She's like, what? I was like, look at me, I don't take care of myself. You're definitely looking at another Mama Cass situation.
Didn't Mama Cass die from eating snacks?
She choked on a ham sandwich.
God, that's how I want to go out.
Me and my best friend were, growing up, we're not friends anymore, but I had this best friend. We were both big girls our whole lives. And we used to pray before every meal. We would say, God, we always ask, do not let us go one of two ways. Do not let us die like Mama Cass with a sandwich in my mouth. And do not let me die on the toilet like Elvis. Amen.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, so beautiful, touching.
And so far, so good.
Well, she's dead from a ham sandwich, but it's fine. I'm the winner.
One of us worked out.
So she died from the ham sandwich. I'm going down the toilet.
That rocks. Good. Jeremy, how are you? Anything before show you'd like to bring up?
I've gone a whole week without killing a rat.
Oh, man. That's a big step for you,
bad?
I feel like.
Well, they have... It took them a whole week to eat a bowl of poison. So they're still around. But I haven't seen them, and it's been much quieter. Well, that's not true. I have heard them every once in a while, but not every night. And they're still fucking with the cabinets, moving insulation around. So someone needs to die. But I can't kill that last maybe one or two that are still illuminating me. So
I think you should do the old farmer's trick. I think you set up the 5-gallon bucket with water in it and then put the peanut butter with the little thingy that spins when they get out there. I think you
look,
do that.
I'm not fucking MacGyver, dude. Look, it's just a bowl of poison. They eat it or they don't. You know?
Yeah, but then you can... You'll get
why don't you make like a super rat thing with electrodes and gunfire that shoots them as soon as they go through a hole? No, dude, I can't do that. No, I'm a moron. So
there is a simple farm folk that made this out of a bucket and a stick, and you're telling me that's outsmarted you?
Dude, I have absolutely no money. I can't even afford a bucket right now.
I guarantee you have. Make one out of the pool in the backyard.
Well, I think I might actually have a job this week.
Yay!
And how I'm getting this job and how I'm starting it, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I think it's just a front for being a mule. So
that's
pretty sure.
Awesome.
All right, so you're becoming a drug trafficker. Is that it?
I think so.
Oh, tight.
So.
Well, congratulations.
It is winter, Jeremy. Do you think you could get me some snow? I've gotten very fat this year. I'd like to take that down a notch.
How many bags would you like me to shovel?
Whatever your anus can carry.
Stop, Jeremy. When you say black tar heroin, he means the inch of rat shit behind his fucking stove right now. So that's... You'll eject it. It'll fuck you up like Percocets, but it won't be good for you.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird question when they asked me how much I can fit up in my ass.
Yeah, they handed you a fucking N64 controller and then say, here, if you can get this in there, the job's yours.
But I'm like, you know, whatever I have to do for $12 an hour, it's all worth it.
So. Well, that's good. That's good, guys. I don't know. Should we give a big welcome? Welcome to Quality Time. My name is Eric Woodworth. I'm your host with the most, and I do things, and we make jokes, and it's another beautiful recording Sunday. And I'm joined by none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Hey, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Is there somebody else on the program we should know about?
Hey, you know me. Michael Keaton. Here to see my 1998 movie, Jack Frost.
Oh, 1998's Jack Frost. That's what you're doing right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you guys are doing Jack Frost. I came on the show and, you know, hope you see it.
Okay, good.
I was also in The Founder. I was Ray Kroc. Yeah.
Well, that rocks. That's not the movie that we did, but I appreciate the sentiment. And
hey, want to hear me do the line that everybody loves? You want to hear the line?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Jack Frost.
I'm Jack Frost. And that laughter you hear is the sultry voice of none other than my other co-host, Ms. Ashley Pontius. How are you, love?
I'm good, Poobah.
Poobah? What is Poobah? Is that another language for Fata?
No, I've run out of things to call you, so I'm just going to start pulling shit out of my ass and see what sticks.
Wow. That if I know anything about your poops, not a lot sticks. It's very runny. So
she could start doing a thing where she calls you a different name every week, and I could do a thing where I play like I'm not really your brother. I'm like some actor or something.
Dude, these are good bits. These are solid bits right here. This is what people come to the show for.
Yeah,
because that would be like an ongoing thing unless I'm really, really pissed off before the program. And I say, fuck the world.
You're my favorite psychopath. I love you.
Yeah, I mean, we really do mean that, mostly because we don't want to be on your bad side and end up in a basement covered in rats that are slowly eating our fucking leg meat off. But like, yeah, we other than that, we like you.
You know, I told you that I've been killing all the rats. No, I had been putting them in training. They all have little outfits on and call them by name. It's like, call them to do my bidding of evil and killing!
I didn't want to hurt your feelings, Jeremy, but I didn't know if you'd find it funny. Sometimes when I'm bored, I've been photoshopping you into posters of movies with rats. So like Willard, Graveyard Shift.
I'm really proud of any... what's the word I'm looking for? Any similarity to Brad Dourif? So
I love Brad Dourif. He is such an underrated. Can we just say he is such an underrated actor?
I do have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Yes.
Hey Joe, you know it's time It's time for our Joe's Weekly Corrections. You maybe you heard the wrong name or the wrong day, 'cause we've all been drinking.
Correctives.
All right, some Joe Robinson's corrections. It's not a lot, but he said that I said the word things don't bide well. It's bode well. He picked that out. It is bode well.
Also, things don't Biden well.
Yeah, I also replied back to Joe to that comment, that correction. I said the dude abodes, so I let him know that.
Yeah.
And then he also said, tell Jeremy I would broomstick fuck him in Dig Dug. That's a real. I'm reading it right from it.
You know, maybe he likes to talk shit, but maybe he doesn't know he's talking to somebody with Twin Galaxies number 2 PlayStation record on Dig Dug. So.
Okay, I don't think he knows that. I mean, I was like, hey, Jeremy's pretty good at Dig Dug, but he said broomstick fuck you in the game. So he sounds like he's pretty confident that he could beat you at Dig Dug. I mean, it sounds like a trip to Crabtown could probably solve all this.
Yeah. If he can beat 200K, maybe he can talk.
Oh,
but, in the meantime, number 2 world record holder, PlayStation 2 Dig Dug. So
you said PlayStation 2 version. What about the arcade? What's your arcade record?
I don't know, but you can't ever trust the arcades for your world record, because number 1, they have to know the dip switch numbers and all that bullshit. So you can record it, but it's like, is it worth anything unless the arcade will tell you what the dip switch numbers are?
And so real talk, if you wanted to, I mean, Joe lives in the, you know, Pasadena, Glen Burnie area. Would you be willing to set up a time, you go to Crabtown, you guys get like best 2 out of 3 for your high score, and you see who wins it out?
Oh, yeah, and bring the broom. So.
Bring the broom. You all, Joe, the challenge has been down. The gauntlet has been thrown. Let's make this happen, Joe. The ball's in your court. Set the date. He'll meet you there. And then he'll follow you home. And then you'll have a new wife named
Jeremy.
Why can't
we just go to Schlegel's house? He's got it up, right?
Yeah. You know what? I'll call Justin. I'll give him your address. I'm sure he'll be into that. I'll just
tell him I wear the clown suit and nothing else. Just the clown makeup and nothing else.
The makeup. So there is one last one, and this one made Joe Robinson stew with anger. Okay, stew. You know, it's his song about Jeremy's house is where I poop and pee. That wonderful little ditty. We said it was a James Taylor song. It is in fact a Michael Jackson song, and was a top number 1 for the movie Ben, which is a movie about rats. So
we don't even know who did the song.
We don't even know.
So pissed.
I did.
No, the thing is that Joe sounds absolutely nothing like Michael Jackson. So I really
what.
I thought he kind of sounded like James Taylor. My mind was set on James Taylor because I still owe him a Purple Power, our James Taylor. No, not a James Taylor song, but I did one just lately for him, so it was stuck on my mind. So
now, Jeremy, you made a song about, speaking of the Purple Power Hour, they play your song still, but you made a hyper-focused song that is specific to the Ravens losing to the Steelers, which they incidentally did just this past Wednesday. So I wonder if they're going to play the hyper fucking laser point focused version of the song that really only applies to that particular week. It'd be interesting to see.
And the both times that we played the Steelers and lost. So
Yes.
And pretty much have destroyed the entire season. It's kind of like, you know, watching like the Redskins from after 8 games. So, you know.
Excuse me. I think you're referring to my sweet Washington football team, who incidentally is number 1 in the division in the NFC East, are actually tied for first place with 4 wins. So if you could be a little bit more respectful of my first place
Washington football team.
We are in the worst division in football. We are the worst division of football with 4 wins, and it is possible we make the playoffs.
Four wins?
With 4 wins right now.
It's like the Magoobies. It's like the Magoobies comedian of the year. It's like I'm in it, and it's like, yeah, but look what we've got to pick from.
It's like being the it's like winning Miss Denny's 2006.
I think it's like if there were like four Cleveland teams all named the Browns and just Browns 1, 2, 3, and 4. So.
No, I agree with that. So,
seriously, I was the one rooting for them to change the name to coincide with high ticket prices and call themselves the Scalpers.
The Washington Scalpers. That's good. Yeah. And it keeps that nice Native American twist to it, which I like and I think is appropriate. Listen,
but
I mean,
white people scalp people too. I mean, it's not just Indians.
I can honestly say this, the Washington area has the worst names for all of their sports teams. And at one time they had probably arguably the best names for all their sports teams. Like they used to have the Washington Bullets, and then they changed it to the fucking Wizards because this'll fix crime in DC if we just change it to the Bullets. But you know what they don't talk about is they changed it to the Wizards, and there was a huge uptick in wizardry. So you know what I mean? Like that's the thing that they don't talk about, that flip side of the coin ever.
And I was also in the running to them change their name from the Bullets to the Crack Dealers.
Yeah. I mean, and the Nationals, I mean, that shit fucking sucks, right? And now we just have a team called the Football Team. That is the other name of this. And then there's the Washington Mystics. What are you, a juice that you buy at an Exxon? This is not like...
What about the female football team?
Oh, I don't know what the lingerie football team is called in Washington. That's
I call them the floppy titties.
The floppy titties.
Okay,
they are not.
I took offense at that one.
The Washington Flapjacks.
this is. And the other thing is, I didn't even know that there was a sport called soccer. But apparently, just seeing the shield of like DC United, I thought they were just like a Nazi group.
Yeah, it does have a very, it does have a little Wolfenschlafen fucking feel to it. I feel that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it for Joe Robinson's corrections. Thank you, Joe. We're just glad that you're listening. Is it time again for a little Honest Ash?
Sure, I think I'm ready.
Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash. And here's Ashley Pontius.
Hi, listeners. It's Ashley here. I wanted to let you guys know that I once tried to kill myself. And before I stepped off the ledge, I got a text message thinking it would be the message that would save my life. It was, in fact, Domino's letting me know about their $5.99 deal. So what I want to let you guys know is you should definitely do it. This has been Ashley Pontius.
So Domino's saved your life.
So get that 555 deal at Domino's today. It could just save your life. This has been Honest Ash. And maybe I hear the blues are calling, toss tangled, and don't kill yourself. Yeah. Anyway.
Can we be sued if I'm like, do it?
Anytime I'm thinking about killing myself, I always just throw on some good old Van Halen. Jump! Bump, 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 bump.
The whole story that I told Eric before is that I got the text message from Domino's, and I'm like, this is fucking upsetting. And then I'm like getting ready to do it again, and then I got another text message. I was like, this has to be a friend. It was Subway letting me know about their $5 footlongs, and I was like, I'm such a fat ass that I get all the text messages for food.
Well, that's good. That's an intense story about, I'm glad that you're still here. And I you know what? I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe that Domino's text was from God. Okay. Maybe that was him ordering you a second lease on life right there.
That was not God. that was the little dude from Little Caesars that's always hopping around. It was him.
It's
that
the
was-
Noid!
Trying to kill yourself today, shall you? Not on my watch. Well, that's
I was like, you know what? Is this too dark? And I was like, no, do it. Tell the truth.
I I just like how seriously you take Honest Ash. We're happy if you just make bits up, but this is a real thing that happens to you in your life.
Look, I don't like lying. It festers and turns into irritable bowel syndrome. So I feel the need to be very honest. And if I can't be honest on quality time, who can I be honest with?
That is true. That is true. I mean, who are you keeping secrets from? Jeremy? I mean, this guy just talked about the rat hole he lives in. And so, you know.
Jeremy inspires me to be honest. Because I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Man, what a great James Taylor song.
By the way, I only eat Catholic pizza. And they call me up every once in a while. It's like, this is your father. Come get some Papa St. John's pizza.
Papa St. John's.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier if, like, while I was like getting ready to do it, I remember I'm like, oh my god, I've got a pizza in the freezer. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
I like St. Papa John's pizza because that's that one, you know, a regular Papa John's pizza comes with like the garlic butter, which is a big side, like it's a big thing, right? That's the selling point for it a lot of times. But like with a St. Papa John's pizza, it comes with a free molest, which is very, I mean, it's good. It's good. You don't even have to pay extra for it. They're like, ooh, I forgot your garlic butter. Well, let me just whip some up for you real quick. And then all of a sudden you got yourself your own blue cheese made from Father Kerrigan. It's great.
Hey, you want the pizza with everything? I guess. What is everything? You know, you got your pickles, your anchovies, you got your extra cheese, you got your extra ground beef, you got your extra pepperoni, and your molestation. Did you just say molestation? Yeah, molestation.
St. So. Papa John's
pizza. I'll come to your house and I'll molest you too.
God, so. Just imagining fucking sweet Papa John and then his sweatiness just looking at you.
I've come here to bring your pizza and also scar your life in a way that you think you can never repair.
Pizza that scars you for life. That's Papa John's, St. Papa John's pizza.
Well, what you guys don't realize is, I mean, you're totally missing out on how important Domino's is. I mean, why do you guys think they suddenly started offering insurance? They got to protect themselves. If you've never had their CineSticks, I hate to tell you this, but the icing isn't icing.
Ooh, that's a little bit of man jam straight from Steve, the manager. He whips that up every morning, fresh like the dough.
Oh yeah, that they also call that in St. Papa John's, but it's CineSticks with the word sin in it. So,
that was good. All right, good. St. Papa John's pizza, guys. I like it. I guess are we ready to get into tonight's movie?
Can I play my real real short game that I made up?
Oh yeah, this is a thing you've teased for weeks now, Jeremy. You have a game that you would like to play, and
yeah,
to tell us set
it's
this
only
game
for
up,
guys.
Okay, is Ash allowed to play, or is it just me playing along?
She's allowed to. She'll get it in like about like 2 seconds.
Okay, so it's hard. It's more difficult for a man to play. You're saying.
Well, only because guys are real bad with names and everything, so...
Okay, I got it. Do you need special music for this or something? Or?
No, this is kind of like a trivia game. Anyway, this is a game for guys, and the name of the game is the real name of the show. Because okay. There's only two reasons I really watch any TV show ever in my entire life, so...
Okay, the real name of the show, and here we go.
Okay. Okay, what's the real name of the show Two Broke Girls?
Two Broke Girls. I thought that was the real show. I'm gonna go with Hoes at a Diner.
No, it's called Kat Dennings Tits.
Okay, Kat Dennings Tits. Got it. All right, I'm gonna try again.
All right, Big Bang Theory.
Nerds That Sometimes Fuck.
That's a good guess. It's Kaylee Cuoco's tits.
Okay, got it. That's what I needed to know. All right, got it.
Dharma and Greg.
I'm going to go on a long shot. I'm going to go Greg's tits.
Well, if you want to go gay, no, it's Jenna Elfman's tits.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
And now I'll throw one in, just a movie, just in case. I know this is a really old one. This isn't like the remake with, like, you know, Marky Mark and that crap. Planet of the Apes.
Oh, Charlize Heston's oily tits.
Charlize Heston?
Yeah, like Charles Heston, but that's the female version.
Look, this is very serious. It's Linda Harrison's tits.
Okay, got it. All right.
Eric, you're not good at this.
I'm not. I don't know.
I bet you Ashley could have gotten at least two or three of them.
Yeah.
I could have.
I'm not very good at it. I guess we'll have
to play.
That's it.
That's all I got for today. So.
All right.
I want to play next week.
Okay. We'll see if you can get the proper package to play, then yes.
Well,
you can.
I keep dyeing my hair back to blonde and I just keep getting dumber. So I really think that I could get some of these.
I really had to look up at least two or three of those names. I have no idea who Kat Dennings' real name was. So
yeah, me neither. I'm personally a Cat Stevens guy, so that's just me.
And now his name is like Mohammed Jihad, kill 'em all, whiteys. So
well, duh. I mean, of course.
But he also has rocking tits.
So this movie we're going over tonight is the 1997 classic. Jack Frost, a comedy horror film for the ages, which directed by Michael Cooney. Jeremy, are you familiar? Michael Cooney is not only famous for this particular movie, but he actually wrote a pretty famous movie, Jeremy. Do you know what movie that is?
He has a
writing credit for an actual good movie.
I'm going to say Big Lebowski.
No, not the Big Lebowski, but he. It says right here he's a writer for the movie Identity, which is actually a pretty very different movie.
Oh, that's that Joan Cusack movie.
Yeah, John Cusack, and it's a fun one. But no, this movie is about a killer snowman, a serial killer that has been brought and reanimated in snow form. It's pretty hilarious, and it's starts off with this intro here, who this is actually the director doing the voiceover work for this story that's kind of sets the groundwork for the film Jack Frost.
Uncle Henry, tell me a story.
No, it's late. Go to bed. Santa will be here soon.
No, I want a story. Please.
All right. You want a happy story or do you want a scary story?
I want a happy, scary story.
Happy, scary story.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, there lived a man by the name of Jack Frost.
Jack Frost?
That's right. Like in the song, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Only this guy did it for real. You know how regular folk get up in the morning, eat something, then hurry off to do whatever for the day?
Uh-huh.
Well, Jack would get up, eat something, then hurry off and kill someone. Because that's what he did. He killed people. He'd stick knives in their faces and cut out their tummies and stamp on their heads till their brains got all runny.
Uncle Henry, I don't think this is such a...
You wanted a story. You got a story.
Okay. But why did he hurt people?
How should I know? Maybe his mum and dad never gave him enough hugs. Maybe they gave him too many hugs. Or maybe he just liked the colour red and things that went squish when he stuck sharp points in them. It doesn't matter. The only thing that's important is that no one could catch him.
Uh-huh.
Some said that Jack was a ghost, that he was already dead and can walk through walls or vanish into thin air.
Ooh.
Truth is, he never stayed in one place long enough to be caught. See, Jack was smart.
Uh-huh.
He'd drift into a town, blend in, puree a few of the locals, then just drift off to someplace else that needed a little social pruning. Any towns that had too many little girls that looked just like you.
But they did catch him, didn't they, Uncle Henry?
Well, for 5 years, through 11 states and 38 deaths.
Ooh.
Jack was nimble, Jack was quick. Jack gouged eyes with candlesticks. He smashed in skulls with sticks and stones. Used iron bars to crush their bones so he could hide his kills in tiny places. And he wouldn't have to see their faces.
Uncle Henry!
That is, until the pies.
Pies?
Yeah. Little bits of people started turning up in Mrs. Puddle's pecan pies all over the Midwest. Fingertips, eyelids, earlobes, Some say the jacket got sloppy, or that deep down he really wanted to be caught. Others said that it made the pies taste better. Bottom line, Jack had made his first mistake. Authorities knew where he worked. Within a week, they'd traced his car, and then it was just a matter of time before he was caught, tried, and sentenced to die. In fact, right at this very moment, Jack is being taken to his place of execution. His story should end at midnight, but the fun's just about to begin. So why don't you go to bed and have sweet, sweet dreams.
Whoa. You know, for such a great Princess Bride-like beginning, we delve into a full movie of shit right after this, and I love it so goddamn much.
Oh yeah. I have to say, this is one of the weirdest openers I've ever experienced. And remember, at the time, I would have had a 22-year-old's dick in my mouth at the start of this movie, so it was a weird experience.
Yeah,
to
so,
be sure.
So this movie, Ashley, this is your first, you gave an HJ to this, to a young lad.
Yeah, I can't remember. I always get this confused with Thanksgiving about the killer turkey, because they would have been a month apart, and I was either giving, this would have been the BJ, because I gave the HJ to Thanksgiving. So this would have been my first BJ. Was to this movie.
Oh, nice. So you just get to hear this weird fucking child voice that sounds like Sherry Moon Zombie the whole time.
So I'm slobbing my first knob for the first time, and I get to hear this, which is fantastic. But something on a rewatch, I totally forgot about the whole pie thing. I was like, holy shit, who doesn't love a good hair pie? Could this be part of the Midsummer universe?
Oh, hell yeah. It takes us right off to a prisoner transfer across the Snowminton County line. The murderous Jack Frost sits in the back. Jack is able to subdue and kill the guard riding in the back with him, who blows cigarette smoke into his face. And during whiteout-like conditions, the guards crash the truck into a genetic research tanker that is filled with some weird gloop.
Can we say how kind of ironic it is that they're having this problem in a place called Snowmantown?
Yes, Snowminton County.
I made a note that said, hey guys, do you pick up on like the winter theme?
And so,
my other favorite movie with serial psycho killers is called a hockey player mask guy place.
Lake hockey mayor class guy.
Mask killer. And and the other one is
Dreamy McGuy.
Evil Dream Monster Street. That's another good movie place to live.
Hey,
too.
Yeah. Welcome to Frank's Evil Dream Street. How you doing? My name is Frank. I will be your host today. I got knives for fingers, but they're actually Ginsu's. They're not regular ones. Kind of not like the other one you're thinking about.
And there's that county down in Texas called Guy Wears Your Face with a Chainsaw Street. So,
oh, welcome
that's a
to
great county to live. So.
Welcome to Ed Gein Ave. That's that's where I live. So
I don't think that makes anything obvious about the plot or anything of any of the movies. So
Jack stands in front of this tanker that just spills this weird genetic gloop all over him as he melts into the snow, and then the snow fucking sucks up his blood, and it starts to kind of bubble and move as we see wonderful 1996 CGI graphics of the helixes combining with the frost and the Jack Frost monster is born in front of us.
A lot of people compare this to the scene at the end of Terminator 2 when the Terminator is frozen by the nitrous oxide and then is reborn because it gets hot again. So
I just like that no special effect in this movie is better than the movie Brain Scan. It's like it goes for a Brain Scan level of special effects, which I appreciate personally.
Well, Can we all agree, though, that there are like parts of this movie and certain kills and whatever that we'll get into that like are not bad? Like some of the quality items in this film and some of the cast are not terrible. But then you look at the snowman himself and you're like, that should have been your whole budget. Like, I love how when Justin Schlegel was on and we did DEFCON 4, mm-hmm. what it was, I love that he hits on a point that we've all talked about many times before, which is, I remember as a kid seeing Jack Frost in Blockbuster and looking at the image that's on the box and on the poster and going, that's scary as shit. And then you actually watch the movie and it's like the Pillsbury Doughboy is killing people. I've never been so angry in my life.
Yes, it literally looks like a shitty yard ornament that is killing people in this film, which is great. And I also want to mention the actor who actually plays Jack Frost. He looks like Bruce Campbell, but like Bruce Campbell after he gets his face kind of sucked out of like proportion, like the first stage of like when he's getting sucked in the next. Necronomicon. He's like, he just has this strong. Yes. He has a chin that like is on par. Like he could be part of the Leno family, if that makes sense.
Oh my god! Yeah, I made a note that said this is Bruce Campbell's uglier brother.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
I'm pretty sure that he was that guy from that show with that little girl that dances. It's like iCarly or something, and she does that song with what you really want. She does that mix up.
Are you talking about Lazy Town? He looks like the guy from Lazy Town.
Pretty sure it's the guy from Lazy Town.
It's a piece of cake to make a baby cake.
I'm gonna have to look it up right now because that dude died painfully of cancer.
Oh wow. So. Good for him. Trebek, R.I.P. Next we get to meet Sheriff Sam, who is played by Christopher Allport, who is a daytime TV drama, was on, I think, on General Hospital for many years, or Days of Our Lives. It was one of those two, but he's a daytime TV actor and is kind of the perfect casting for this over the top film of this almost like not great actor just giving ridiculous lines during it. I do enjoy his casting in this. He is a fun character. And through a flashback, we get to see why he is on his way to go see Jack Frost killed tonight. Because he was the sheriff that apprehended Jack Frost.
That's right, Sheriff. You take a good long look at this face. Because the next time you see it, it's going to tear your world apart. I'll find a way. I'll tear your town apart. I'll kill your family. I'll kill you.
Oh man, so Jack Frost, not a big fan of Sheriff Sam. The police report that Jack Frost is dead from the car accident, killed on our very own interstate, and we do see Sheriff Sam with his son. Whoa,
oh, no.
Do we lose
Jeremy?
Ash or do we lose Jeremy? We lost Jeremy.
I'm here.
That's
oh,
okay,
no.
Cool. Well, he's dead to us now. We go on with the show.
Here, I can kill time for a second, because what I wanted to say is I did look it up. It's Scott McDonald. He was not the actor that I thought was dead, thank God. But he's actually done some other pretty interesting movies. He was actually in Jarhead in 2005 and the 1993 awesome flick Fire in the Sky.
Oh, yeah, is that right? Was he in Fire in the Sky?
Apparently.
I have to see this.
His biggest role, though. Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Serial Killer Snowman.
Wait a minute. There's a sequel to this fucking movie?
And they go on a cruise. I didn't want to tell you.
Okay. I didn't even know. I mean, they leave this on a cliffhanger. Spoiler alert. But yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, they go to like on a cruise or they go to Hawaii. And he comes back.
The best part of this movie is, yes, it does end with an opening for a sequel. I will tell you that. And I couldn't help but think, I was like, man, if they make a sequel, I hope it's like on a beach. Like, I want him to not be in a...
Because they're like, we don't want to live around snow ever again. We're going to the tropics. And Jack's like, I've evolved. I am the ocean.
That fucking rocks. That rocks so hard. So, moving on. Well, Jeremy has the room code, so he'll be here eventually. We then see the police report, and we also get to meet Jack's son, who I believe his name is Ryan. There you go.
I was gonna say Ryan.
We're going to go with Ryan. It's not Tyler. I know that, which is what I put in my notes, and I realized it, and I didn't go back to change that at all, so fuck it. But his son is making these abomination oatmeal cookies that have to get put and scooped into a bag that just look like a regular Ashley Pontius BM just being shoved into...
Eric, you're not wrong. It does look like an underbaked oatmeal cookie.
So he takes them with him and is very nice to his son. Then heads to the town square where there is a snowman building competition. We get to meet in her very first role, Jill, who's played by Shannon Elizabeth, pre-getting breast implants that we would see in American Pie 2. And we do get to see her pre-breast implants breasts in this very film. You do get to see just a little bit of nip.
Well, the other thing that is really upsetting me right now, because we've lost Jeremy, but what would make me so happy is she was also in 13 Ghosts.
Yes, of course. She's in 13 Ghosts, you know, which is another, again, great film. Check it out in our archives. Probably Jeremy's strongest song other than Docking with My Son. We can all agree on that, I think. So, yeah, but Jill is there, and she's got eyes for another fella who's there. There's some sexual attention. And we also meet the town hardware store owner, Paul, who is just, he is just a pistol, that Paul. He's always cutting deals. He's the town deal man. He's ready to drop off salt at your house, as we'll see soon enough. So Sam gets a call that there's been a murder in town. It's old man Gentry, frozen solid in a rocking chair. And here we go.
Look about, Sam. We got no vehicle tracks.
No footprints in the snow.
I got no sign of a struggle or attempt to break into the house.
No blood.
Nothing. Brad, I don't want this thing spreading any more than it needs to. Whole town will go crazy.
And I also like that the chair's rocking, and then he turns to him and goes, "Can you stop rocking the chair right now?" And that's... It's a good bit. It's a good bit.
It is good. I did enjoy that.
They Sam calls the gets out and then calls the FBI to confirm that indeed Jack Frost is dead, and he gets Agent Manners, who is a total fucking cock. And Agent Manners comes back, and this is the interaction between them.
Oh yeah, Sheriff, Jack Frost did indeed die in the accident, then I can assure you.
Anything else I can help you with?
No, thank you very much.
Not a problem.
Good luck with your investigation.
Thank you. It's over.
It started.
It wasn't meant to happen like this.
So you keep saying.
We hadn't even tested the acid on an amoeba, let alone a human cell. This is a disaster.
Disaster? You gotta learn to look on the bright side of things.
The bright side?
Sure. At least you know it works. It's just a shame that your guinea pig had to be a homicidal maniac like Jack Frost. Who I now have to put back in the test tube.
Ooh. So, Agent Manners is on the case to go hunt down this cryptid that has now been created by science. And I don't know who the scientist is that he's talking to in the room, but I believe he's a stand-up comedian, no?
I don't recognize him. Acting is terrible, so he should definitely stick to stand-up.
Ooh, sick burn by Ashley Pontius.
Wow.
So, yeah, go ahead, Jer. You're back.
Yeah, I don't know. My computer just said locking out and shut down everything for some reason. Sounds great. Why am I using Linux? Oh, gosh.
I believe it's Linux, but yeah. Well,
yeah, Linux Lewis, my favorite computer system.
I like it. Well, welcome back, Jeremy. Welcome back to the conversation. Yeah. Now, the medical examiner, who is a hoot, who's I believe his name is Doc Peters. God, what a fun character he is. He goes and looks at the body and says, "Looks like the neck was broken, held down. Could have been a giant mitten." And I like that he determines this giant mitten. Also, it's worth noting Jack Frost at no point in this movie wears a mitten at all, which is very, very funny to me.
I love it's like, okay, we're looking for a baker who's wearing an oven mitt.
Yes, I like that, but he's wrong because Jack Frost never wears mittens in this movie at all.
Well, he doesn't, but can we just talk about the fact that he has no fucking fingers?
Yeah.
Like, I love that he's supposed to be this terrifying serial killer, but he's got the doll hand. Like, oh, God, I hate it so much.
It makes sense that he can control all of his body at a molecular level, but only as a snowman.
Yes. Now, Sheriff Sam's wife comes home and notices there is a large faceless snowman in her front yard. She doesn't pay much mind to it and brings some materials in so that her son Ryan could go and finish it off, even though he claims he didn't build this giant snowman. Meanwhile, there's some locals are furious and they want justice, and they're ready to take blood into their own hands and hit the streets looking for the killer of Mr. O'Grady or Mr. Gentry, right? Meanwhile, Ryan goes to decorate Jack Frost outside, and as he's doing this, he grows gnarly icicle teeth, but some local bullies show up, and they let Ryan know that he's fucking up their black sled ride, which is their yearly thing that goes right through their yard, and he needs to get the fuck out of his own property. One of the bullies knocks the head off of Jack Frost, and that was a bad decision, because one thing leads to another. Jack trips the bully, and that bully's head gets chopped off by a fucking sled.
I didn't do it.
Holy moly, Ryan killed Billy!
So,
I've never laughed harder in my life than that kid getting decapitated. When kids die, they're comedies.
That's true. I remember when I watched Hereditary, and I laughed so hard at the part where that lady's head gets folded back, that 9-year-old's head gets folded back like a fucking accordion. Yeah, I've got good bit.
And we all know it because he reminds us of our sister Amy, so.
R.I.P. Amy, we loved you until you hit that phone pole.
You guys almost made me panic because I forgot that you guys have a sister named Amy, because I have a sister named Amy.
Oh,
and I was like,
yeah.
God, don't tell her you think she's ugly.
Dad, do you call her Amy or do you go Amelia? She usually goes by Amelia quite often.
Oh, Amelia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so no, Amy is Amy.
Oh,
Amy,
okay.
Is Amy, A-M-Y.
We only address her as Amy when she's in court.
Yes.
So.
That's cool.
I mean, Amelia, yeah.
So Billy's dad comes, the kid who's just been decapitated, and he's not taking it very well. He's blowing up at there. And I'd like to just share a little bit of this Oscar-winning performance played by Billy's dad here. Here's just a little bit of Billy's dad's acting.
I believe that, Jay.
And you watch the way you talk to me. I'm not above punching an officer out of law if it calls for it.
Why don't you go home and calm down? We'll talk about this tomorrow.
Because I can't talk about it tomorrow. Because I got to look for a place to bury my son tomorrow.
I got to look for a place to bury my son tomorrow. It's such a perfect piece of acting.
It is. And I love that the wife, too, is like, I'm so sorry. He's not normally like this. But, you know, when your kid dies, what you going to do?
Why are you so upset just because your kid was decapitated by a sled? Maybe you shouldn't have let him sharpen his sled so he's like a freaking scimitar going down a hill, you dumbass.
But also, Jeremy, I loved your thought earlier. You're right. What really it should be is the Black Blood Diamond Run.
Hell yeah. Hell
well,
yeah.
This movie would have been a lot better with Matt Damon, of course, so.
Oh my God, absolutely. All the exploitation of those in Africa.
I'm Matt Damon! I'm the evil killer snowman! And I'm gonna get out of this war because all my brothers died before me! Yeah, I'm Matt Damon!
Hell yeah. Billy's father is still mourning later that night. You find out that Billy is actually the younger brother of Jill, who's played by Shannon Elizabeth. Jeremy, we talked about Shannon Elizabeth's tits already. We'll get more to that as we go.
We're gonna talk about the most important thing.
What's that?
The implants.
Yeah, she didn't. We did mention that she had not had her implants yet, so we get to see her titties later on, implantless, during a very pivotal motion, a very pivotal part. I'm not saying just in this movie, but in cinema in general.
Wasn't this like at least like an MTV award of like best raping by a snowman?
Yeah,
in a movie?
Let's just save it. Let's just save it to when we get to that part. It's coming up. Don't worry. So,
we can just talk about that the rest of the whole movie. I don't care. Just, you know.
there is
snowman rape. Yeah.
There is
yeah.
a snowman rape that happens in here. So Billy's father's having trouble dealing with the whole thing. He goes outside after Jill leaves the house after he calls her a whore, and not realizing that the giant snowman Jack Frost is right out front ready
Jack
to do
Floss.
It. So he hears a voice say, "Hey, how about a smoke?" And not realizing that it's coming from the snowman, he grabs an axe and looks around. He circles around the giant Jack Frost until the thing grabs the axe from it and then jams it down his throat, handle first, which is quite impressive. And in Jack Frost fashion, he always leaves him with a wonderful line in this.
"Gosh, I only axed you for a smoke."
Oh, only axed you. Good bit, Jack Frost.
It's all in the same vein, though, of like Thanksgiving and Poultrygeist, like all these other like Tromaville films. They all have those really over the top punches, like right at the end of each kill.
Yes, it is. It's funny, man. It's funny. So, Jack, it's funny. Speaking of offensive jokes, last night I actually performed with one Mickey Coachella, and he was a room of about maybe 100 people at this little club in Carroll County, and God damn it, are you guys familiar with the joke structure of called dead baby jokes? Are you familiar with dead baby jokes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were sharing a couple before the show, and Mickey did one on stage that bombed so hard. Like, I can't tell you. And the only person who laughed was just me at the back going, "Ha ha!" Listen, now granted, Mickey crushed 99% of the show, but he did this one dead baby joke that made me fucking laugh. It was that he goes, "Hey, what do you get when you have a dead baby in a trash can?" He goes, "I don't know what you get, but I get an erection." And I lost it. And then he doubled down and did another. He's like, "What do you get with a dead baby in a microwave?" He goes, I don't know. I was too busy jerking off." Which is also horrible. So Jack then makes his way inside to go take out Mom next by choking her with Christmas lights and slamming her face into the Christmas bulbs, essentially shattering little shards of them into her face, and eventually ending up tying her to the tree, making her a giant Christmas decoration ornament. Paul, who is doing his delivering of salt, comes in and sees the horrid sight and the macabre ornament and runs for his life, as he's now seen the form of Jack Frost. So Paul then runs to the cops. He goes, and then the cops go by to go check out the body and see it. He's like, should we leave her up for the 12 days of Christmas? Or which is a good, it's a good bit. Sam then heads back to the station, realizing to see that Agent Manners is there taking over the investigation. As the then they go back to the kill scene, and we get to see the scientist gentleman look at the footprint that was left behind at the murder scene.
"I don't know why you're so interested in this darn footprint. Whoever did this obviously came through the back door.
It was locked.
And they locked it behind them.
You're obviously not a man of science, Sheriff. The latest advances in forensics means that a footprint can be as accurate as a fingerprint."
First of all, that's not true at all. I love that Agent Manners, he's like, obviously you're not you're a hillbilly and you're not a man of science like my man here. And then 2 seconds later, he goes on and you hear him say this.
"I'm reading something."
"What?"
"Oh, sweet Jesus, look at this. This thing is able to latently alter its elemental molecular structure."
"English, Stone, English."
So he doesn't understand anything about science either, which is very, very funny. He's like, obviously you're a fucking idiot, you hillbilly cop. And then he's just, "English, I can't understand what you're saying." So we do learn a little bit more about how Jack Frost works. Here we go.
"Can freeze and unfreeze at will. It melted, came through the doggy door, and refroze on the inside."
"You mean Jack came through the doggy door and refroze on the inside? What the hell have you let loose in this town?"
So there you go. Agent Manners taking no responsibility for any part of this, knows nothing about science, but is just a general dick. I really do like him a lot. So
you know, is it a really big thing that somebody can go through a doggy door? I mean, even the principal from like Ferris Bueller's Day Off went through a doggy door, but that's like supposed to be a special power or something.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's really not that big a deal. But what we do know is that Jack Frost, and it is a thing that will be used multiple times, can just squirt his way through the cracks in a door and then reform on the other side. That's the important thing to get from all that.
Hey, Eric, can you say squirt one more time?
Yes, Sprite. That is my favorite. Yes.
I refuse to use the word squirt. I just say moist. So.
Moist okay. Towelette.
I'm disappointed in Eric, but thanks, Jerry.
No, squirt.
I would never say squirt.
So, what? He asks him what the hell that's been let loose. Agent Manners is now on the hunt. Sam decides to bring all the townsfolk to the town hall for the snowman competition, but he has some bad news and breaks it to everyone that shit's about to get real. Paul comes in and he's fucking hysterical, so they have to lock his ass up in the jail. We see one of the deputies dies when he meets paths with Jack Frost. He's driving down the street. The giant snowman's in the way. He goes to get a shovel. It's gone. And now it's in the car and it runs him over in one of the funniest scenes of just the giant snowman just looking out the window going, which Ashley, you made a wonderful meme that I'm sure you will share on the social media soon. Yep. Of Chef's Kiss Good. I saw
Thank
that earlier.
You. I'm excited.
So check that out if you would like to see the picture of Jack Frost driving over somebody.
I love the fact that this character is ginormous, that he should never even fit behind a car wheel to begin with, and then he has to, instead of having big balls, he's got like snowman feet. Obviously, you're supposed to, you know, deal with the idea that it's always as ridiculous as like, okay, we're gonna tap dance out here in the snow, but all of a sudden you have a big ditch that you can tap dance into on like Cannibal the Musical. So, did anybody notice he was tap dancing all of a sudden? Like, yeah,
it made no sense. I had to be very drunk for the last half of the movie.
yes. So the other deputy goes to collect the sheriff's wife, and there's some tension there, but Jack Frost doesn't get either of them. But Jill and her boyfriend go and break into the house after they leave so they can have comical sex, where they comically strip down like 20 layers of clothing during like this. It's like take off the jacket and the under jacket and the this and then that. And she finally gets down to just overalls and then stops him and goes, "If you want me, I want a roaring log fire and some wine." So she does what any girl does when she's about to get laid, goes into the other room with a hairdryer and preps her hair for sex for the next, you know, 10 minutes as her boyfriend is about to be horribly murdered. He starts chipping away at the ice and then drops some into the glass of wine that he's done because it's too hot, which doesn't make sense. You don't drink wine like that. My wife would be furious had he seen her, this fucking jackass, to do that to wine. But Tommy can hear someone right outside the house, so he pokes around and he looks outside and
who's out there? Well, it ain't fucking Frosty.
What are you? World's most pissed off snow cone. Well, what do you know? Armed and dangerous.
So we learn that Jack Frost has the ability to shoot icicles that can, like a projectile, and impale people, and impales Sweet Billy against the wall, and we see blood fucking like come out, and then he pulls it out, and then like it just like it goos like meat blood out of the the other side, which I did enjoy. I did enjoy that.
I kind of wish, though, he would have had, like, a good line for Billy. Be like, now it's your turn to be penetrated. Like, I just think that would have been more fun.
So, next we see more of Shannon Elizabeth and some skin as she hops in the bathtub to get ready. It starts getting... And I'd like to mention the whole time she doesn't hear the other kid get murdered because she's listening to the world's worst music in the whole world. Like, did you pick up on, like, what she was listening to? It's like...
I wasn't...
Like, she, like, in her free time, like, oh, I need to get ready and do stuff. And she's listening to quite literally elevator music and, like, oh, this is hot. And, like, really, she's, like, into it, which I thought was very, very funny. So, next we see her slip into the bathtub and she starts getting cold because Jack Frost is melting his way in there. He then refreezes in what is basically a snowman rape scene. He lifts her up, and originally what the director had planned is that he said he was just supposed to slam her up against a wall until she was dead, but like they were watching it in the editing room, he's like, you know what this looks like, don't you? Right?
Yeah.
And so he didn't have a carrot on his nose, so it's implied that the carrot is the thing that's in her while she's like stuck inside of Jack Frost, basically being raped by a giant genetically altered snowman. And so the only thing that they had to refilm was getting that giant snowman to do some sex puns afterwards, like this.
Looks like Christmas came a little early this year. Well, hope it was good for you, honey.
Oh, there you go. So, now Jack Frost isn't just a murderer, he's a horrible snowman rapist.
I feel this would be the most important part of any actor's studio interview when they ask the director, so how did you feel about using the carrot for the snowman's nose in a rape scene for a snowman? And what took you long to think that idea up for your film, Jack Frost?
Oh, God.
Well, it helps that I have, like a maturity level of a 5-year-old. So that's how I made it up, you know?
You know, I was thinking, doesn't that carrot look like a penis? And then wouldn't it be a hoot if we sodomized a woman with it?
I was just sad whenever I found out this wasn't a Jim Henson production.
When I talked to Steven Spielberg, he was very pleased that obviously Freddy Krueger's fingers that are like turned into a shark fin going through the water in Nightmare on Elm Street, much like Jaws going into Heather Langenkamp's crotch.
That's it.
He was very proud that you had given them that send up in A Nightmare on Elm Street.
So, so a good solid rape scene. Also, this is Shannon Elizabeth's first movie. As we'd mentioned, no breast implants yet, so we got to see her fully nude in her first movie and her second movie, which would come out in 1999, American Pie, where we get to see those yabos fully enhanced by science afterwards. She's lived a rich career and would then go on to do one of our favorite episodes, 13 Ghosts. So,
also, if any of the men who listen to this podcast don't feel like they can bag a total 10, go look at who she was married to for 5 years, and I want you to feel like you have some hope.
Who was she married to for 5 years? Is he a no-name?
Take a minute, look it up.
Please don't say it was the dorky guy from whatever that show is with the two twins that are now like total anorexic heroin bags.
You mean from Full House?
Yeah, Full House. Yeah, that dorky looking guy from Full House.
There's a lot of dorky looking dudes from Full House. So not Bob Saget.
Well, not Saget. I mean, he was the man.
Ugh, God. I've never, you know what, I was going to say, I've never disliked someone more, but then I was like, you know what? I don't like Carlos Mencia. So.
Yeah, but you know who the dorky guy went out with from Full House, right?
Yeah, Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, okay.
Wait a minute. I see the picture. Is it this guy who looks like he's in The Counting Crows? That's who she was married to? He looks like either he was in The Counting Crows or was like a henchman that was killed in the movie The Crow. It's one or the other, but it is crow related either way.
Yeah, is he not, like, I don't know, kind of one of the ugliest dudes you've ever seen? Like, how did that happen is all I want to know. Like, how?
I don't know, but I feel like he owns every Affliction shirt that was ever made. Does that make sense? Like, that's the kind of vibe he gives off.
I don't think Chad Kroeger gets pussy because of his good looks.
That is true. That is true.
He has to have terrible self-esteem, and I'm here for it.
So meanwhile, we learn that no backup is coming into town due to the storm that's rolled in, which is odd because it's not snowing outside anywhere during the movie. I find that very, very funny. They're like, the weather's just too bad. We can't get people in here. Like, the roads are clear. There's like 70-degree weather. It doesn't matter. Frost then shows up at the station, and we learn that conventional weapons don't seem to affect him as they try to shoot him with bullets. They flee insides to lock themselves within the police station. Agent Frost then comes clean and tells them it really is Jack Frost. I was fucking with you. I'm sorry. He's a serial killer now. He's a snowman. And he starts coming through the door, melting like his way underneath the door as water shoots out under. And I love how funny it is that Agent Manners comes over with the gun and starts shooting the puddle of water, which is the funny. I don't know why. I was fucking over. I was just laughing so hard at him just shooting a fucking handgun into water.
Well, not only was that scene so good, I love that I think it's just like a minute before he asks, like, what is your building made out of? And he's like, it's made of like pure, like steel. And I was like, no, your station is made out of cardboard and asbestos. Like, let's be honest.
So, what?
I like to see like that re-edit of the deleted scene from the redo of Terminator 2. When all of a sudden another Terminator comes from the future and just kind of shovels the T-1000 back into the lava after being frozen and exploding into like little chips and everything, like, oh, that's it. Just throw them right back into the fire. And that was the end. So
next we see that Jack Frost is obviously reforming on the other side. What weapon could even possibly subdue him? The sheriff grabs the mighty hairdryer that is for some reason in his office.
Wait a second. Did we not mention the Adrian Barbeau in this movie?
That is not Adrian Barbeau.
I'm pretty sure it's Adrian Barbeau.
It looks like Adrian Barbeau. Yes, the wisecracking secretary who just all she does is like when people make like jokes, she just goes. That's her whole job, is to laugh at really shitty jokes.
Like 97, but she has a hairdo from like 84.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's strong. Yeah, she looks like the mom from Gremlins. Yeah.
Yes.
So
they couldn't have a big star like that in this movie.
So the sheriff grabs the hairdryer, and it is incredibly effective against Jack Frost, but he walks Jack Frost down too much and unplugs the hairdryer, forcing him to flee to the cell portion where people are locked up. Now, that portion of the jail, they decide to start filling with aerosol and so they can blow it up, but the sheriff has left his keys in the door down at the other end of the hallways. Jack Frost is starting to form on the other side, so he does this very uncomfortable, gotta get the keys, and he drops it in the water. He's gotta get it, and Jack Frost forms an arm and grabs him. He's able to kick loose because he's made out of literal snow and just easily breaks the snow. And then he's running out so they can climb out of a window that is locked that he needed the keys for, and then realizes that Paul's been locked up the entire time, because up until that point, until Paul said anything, he was just gonna blow up everybody who was locked up in there. We don't know who else was in that jail, but only Paul got to live because he unlocked the door for him so that he could escape with them, which I thought was very, very funny. Like, he was just like, oh, we got to get the fuck out of here. All of you guys are dead and locked up.
I'm thinking if they had like another $100 in the budget, they could have had like a scene where one of the cops gets one of those like super propane heater, warehouse heaters, and holds it much like a mini gun against the Jack Frost. So
yes, yeah, like one of those torpedoes. I know what you're talking about. Hold it like
they had like $100 more.
Holding it like he was Vasquez from fucking Alien, and just like
hell yeah,
like
yeah.
That would be badass.
Yeah. Vasquez is my favorite transgender.
Fuck yeah, dude. Vasquez could get it.
Although she doesn't really claim it, she has been mistaken for a man. So
she has a, you know, the important thing is, like, I need Vasquez, that actress who plays Vasquez, to get killed by a predator so she can join the Bill Paxton club, though. No?
Yeah.
Because she's been killed by, she's the mom in Terminator 2 that gets killed, and she's Vasquez, so she's been killed by an alien. All she needs now is to be killed by a predator, and she'll...
Well, you know who she was killed by.
Who's that?
She's killed by the Titanic.
Oh, there you go.
Third Cameron killer.
So they are able to escape through the window just in time, and Manners blows up the thing and shatters Jack Frost into a million pieces all over the place.
Did you see the deleted scene from Titanic where she dies?
No, I didn't see that. Please tell me more.
She's in the stowage in the lower, and she tries to get past the little railing thing where the guards are keeping them down, and she's like, I want to get off this Titanic. And he says, you're poor. You're going to stay down there and die because you're poor. This is Titanic. You only live if you're rich or if you have a $1 million diamond with you. Die, poor person.
You best. The only way you're getting off the Titanic is if you got tits or if you're Billy Zane dressed as a woman. That is clear. That was the one thing that I learned from that movie. Is that
that's Billy Zane. He's gone on to do so many work of art.
I do.
You know, I wouldn't think that Billy Zane would be like your typical John Stamos type until I saw him hanging with three hot looking freaking chicks outside of the hotel when they were staying there. So,
well, it's weird that a celebrity would be able to pull very attractive women. That's that's an interesting take on that, Jeremy. I'd have to do some more research to see if that's true, but you know, I'll take your word for it just this one time.
Well, he gave me a free autograph, so he's very nice.
Well, that's good, because if you look at Billy Zane's fucking cameo, you know how much a cameo costs from Billy Zane? Because I looked into it. I was thinking about getting one.
It's at least 100 something, isn't it?
Oh, it's more than 100.
300?
More than 300.
Wow.
You want a cameo from Billy Zane, you're dropping half a G. You got 500 buck cameos he's doing right now. And he's making a killing, man. But I will say, his cameos are pretty fucking good. He's a real dick. He was just like, hey, your friend Billy sent me this, and he wanted me to call you an asshole. But I wouldn't do that. I'm a nice person like that. So he does have fun with his cameos, so I will give him that.
Still, and I've also met his sister, so she was like in one of the Nightmare Elm Streets.
Still cheaper though than The Undertaker. The Undertaker, if you want the great Mark Calloway, who played The Undertaker, you gotta drop a whole $1,000 to get him dressed up as The Undertaker and go, hello, kid with cancer. I heard that you were looking to meet me, and you will meet me soon enough at Hell in a Cell, which will be literally your death of cancer. And so, yeah, if you shout out to Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, big fan. Anyway.
Wasn't he one of those wrestlers that didn't even say anything?
Oh, Mark Calloway, he could cut a mean promo. He could cut a mean promo, please. So
like all those wrestlers when they say, I'm going to break my dick off in you so hard when I'm in the ring, and I'm going to rape you with a broomstick. So
like you were playing, like we're playing Dig Dug, and now Jack Frost has been blown to pieces, but it is merely a speed bump as he is reformed, but not quite perfectly. His parts are all over the place, and he's not really quite the same snowman he used to be.
All maybe Manly's right. What could have survived that?
Look, Ma! I'm a Picasso! I'll be back when I pull myself together!
So they flee into the town hall and make a stance against Jack Frost. But first, the sheriff wants some answers from the scientist.
Jack Frost was an accident. It was meant to be next-level genetic research. To ensure the survival of our race through a global holocaust, I created an acid that would bond a human chromosome helix with an inert material, so that we could be resurrected in our future. But something happened in the accident. The snow didn't just store Jack Frost's DNA.
It's taken on his personality.
Exactly. You know what that means?
It means he's killing my friends.
No, Sheriff. It means that the soul exists. And it's not just some esoteric spiritual entity or even a vague electrical force.
Soul is a chemical. You're insane. This isn't what we should be talking about right now.
Frost manifestation is my proof. It's invaluable. We cannot destroy it.
Don't you get it? Jack Frost came back here to get at me, and he's gonna kill anybody who gets in his path. If we don't destroy him, he's gonna kill every last one of us.
We have to contain it.
How? We have to put him in an absolutely watertight container. Otherwise, he's gonna leak out. We can't risk that.
But to destroy it...
What do you want us to do, Stone? Wait until spring and see if he melts?
Wait a minute. What about the furnace down in the basement? Surely that's hot enough to destroy him.
Yeah, well, we tried blowing him up. It just pissed him off.
I suppose it's possible that the sustained heat could agitate the molecules sufficiently to destroy the helix.
Fine, fine. But how the hell do we lure him down there?
We don't lure him. We force him.
Whoa. So they're going to try to force Jack Frost into the furnace downstairs. So Father O'Hurley goes and turns up the furnace, and they go outside to go see where Jack Frost is. And he comes in the form of a giant ball that comes rolling down.
Hey, Jack! What? You left the 7-10 split.
But as he comes to attack him again, they all have hair dryers, and they start using the hair dryers against him. I don't know why there's so many hair dryers at Town Hall. It is a ridiculous amount with extension cords that they got ready in a very brief amount of time. But the townsfolk force him down into the cellar, where they're able to melt him down and get him into the furnace. The day is won. Jack Frost has been defeated, and the townsfolk are all fucking happy. Agent Manners, though, and the scientists look over at the melting Jack Frost within the furnace and talk to each other, as it's kind of a bittersweet ending. Oh, but he's free! He comes out and he bites the fucking guy's neck off!
Use mistletoe!
And, he kills Agent Manners and the scientist right after he breaks out. Then he makes his way outside to where Sam and his son are, and they lock themselves in the car, but Jack Frost melts his way through the air vents, quickly getting inside, but, luckily, as he pushes his kid out of the window to get away from Jack Frost, who's now in the back seat, he grabs one of the oatmeal cookies and shoves it into his face, the one that his very son Ryan made earlier today, and all of a sudden, half of Jack Frost's face has been fucking melted before his eyes. He goes to ask Ryan, what did you put in those cookies?
Burning oatmeal is making him burn. Honey, what did you put in those oats?
Sorry.
It's a good thing that you did.
I didn't want you to get cold.
Honey, what did you put in the oats?
Antifreeze.
So, he just made cookies with antifreeze, the thing that, the old-fashioned way of euthanizing your pet, and they realize that they need to get more antifreeze, so he goes to talk to Paul, and he says, hey, you got any antifreeze at the store? Get as much as you can. So Paul is off to go get as much antifreeze as he can, while the Sheriff Sam and Jack Frost play a deadly game of cat and mouse. Jack chases the sheriff from room to room, finally pinning him against the wall with an icicle. He then hears the truck pull up that is filled with the antifreeze outside.
This is cavalry, asshole.
And he jumps out of the window with Jack Frost into a bed of a truck that's filled with a pool of fucking antifreeze, and the thing like melts down. He's punching just this giant meat white fucking thing inside like this green ecto cooler as Jack Frost melts before his very eyes. The day has been saved, but Ryan, his son, is outside. He's like, Dad, I think you missed a piece, and it's Jack Frost's arm. It wraps around his face. Oh my God!
Dad, I forgot this arm.
No, Ryan!
No, no! So he has to go then dunk Ryan in the tub for a little bit. But that also melts Jack Frost all the way down. The day is saved. They're in a fucking pool of fucking green slime and melted, maniacal, genetically altered snowman. And now the day is saved. except that it ends with all the antifreeze put back into the bottle that is bubbling and oozing, and with a cackle we can hear that Jack Frost maybe isn't indeed dead!
Whoa!
Sequel!
There is.
Which brings us to an end of Jack Frost. An amazing film, Ashley, good pick. What are your final thoughts on the Jack Frost movie and the franchise, as apparently it went past this?
So, overall, it's a lot of fun. It obviously carries very emotional, touching memories for me. But knowing there's a sequel, I just want to put it out there that if they were to make a third installment, making it a trilogy, I feel that Jack Frost should be played by none other than, oh, it's Michael Shannon.
It's me. Oh, Michael Shannon. I'm back again. Look at me. Greatest Asian actor. Michael Shannon. You see me Breakfast at Tiffany's? Very good. You know, Michael Shannon has so much range of looking like he has diarrhea all the time that I really think he could pull off a Jack Frost better than most actors.
I agree. I think he has the perfect face and voice to play Jack Frost. You just take Michael McDonald, who played the original, and you take Elizabeth Shannon, you put them together, you got Michael Shannon.
You got Michael Shannon! Oh, God, yeah! I think, you know, by the way, I know this is kind of off topic, but did you guys see the breaking news that the Toxic Avenger is being rebooted?
I did.
And did you see who is being cast as Melvin, the Toxic Avenger? It's none other.
I don't know about Jeremy, but I did.
Jeremy, do you know yet?
No.
Jeremy, news came out this week, the Toxic Avenger reboot. It sounds like it's big budget because the actor who's playing it, none other than Peter Dinklage.
Oh, gosh.
And
why?
I am at a level 10 of excitement to see Peter Dinklage get dunked into a vat of toxic waste and then be played by some giant, muscly monster for 90 minutes. I really can't tell you how excited I am to see Peter Dinklage as the Toxic Avenger.
Can we make that like a quality time field trip?
I think we might have to. We might have to see that one live as a group. We might have to go to the movies, even if they exist. Or I will bring. We will go to a centralized location and we'll watch it together.
Okay.
Can we talk about the great loss that we had this week?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Darth Vader died.
Yeah, the guy who was the not James Earl Jones, of course, but the gentleman who was 7 foot tall and played the was in the suit. The suit.
It's David Prowse.
Yes.
But more than anything, when I met him, he was at a New York Comic Con, and I got to talk to him about playing Julian in Clockwork Orange, who got to hold up Malcolm McDowell when he came into the house, and he was like, yeah, Malcolm McDowell got kind of heavy after having to hold him up for hours on end for all the many takes that Kubrick liked to do. So
I will say, Malcolm McDowell, I do have one of my favorite Comic-Con experiences with him when we did Monster Mania and he was there. He did take a piss right next to me at the urinal and I did see his cock, and it was a standard cock. I was very impressed by it. Not too big, not too small, just the right cock size for a Malcolm McDowell.
Did he sing Singing in the Rain when he was peeing?
I'm singing in the rain. It's weird how much he pissed on me while doing that musical number, but I liked it.
I was going to say, Eric, you're telling me he's the Goldilocks of penises.
Just right. Just right. I like Goldilocks because the just right one is the smallest one, which happens to be me. I like that. That's what I like. I like about that Goldilocks cock story. Goldie Cox.
Oh, Eric, I love that story because she's into bears.
Jerry, what are your final thoughts and takeaways from Jack Frost, brother?
It had the money shots with the violence and really bad jokes, and none of it made any sense whatsoever, because everybody knows that Jack Frost is actually Martin Short.
That is true. Everybody does know that he is Martin Short. I'm Jack Frost. Welcome to what is the movie where Jack? My favorite Martin Short film is the movie where he plays the little kid. What is it, Clifford? Clifford.
You
is
love
such
Clifford?
I love Clifford.
That is one of my favorite movies.
I love Clifford so much. Where a 50-year-old Martin Short plays a child. It is such a good movie. Way
ahead of
its time.
I'm so happy right now because I used to get slapped constantly for walking around my house and going, San Francisco, open your golden gates, your golden boy.
I always liked it because my favorite scene of that movie is when he's watching National Geographic. It's just the African ladies with the titties out. And he's just like, I'm watching National Geographic. That's so funny to me.
I love that movie. Holy shit, we have something new to talk about. That's
there we go. Clifford, what a great film. What a great film. Ashley, where can people find you at, love? What do you got going on? Tell us all about it.
Let's see. So I will be doing an online Zoom show December 17th. You can look at my page for that, which you can find at Ashley Pontius Laughs.
Ashley Pontius Laughs. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. Hosted by Michael Quinlan and former co-host of the show, Miss Kimberly Callahan. So yeah, check all that shit out. I got a murder mystery coming out on the 20th at Magoobies, which I believe is this week if you're listening to the show. So come out to that, possibly even a New Year's show at Magoobies. That's going to be all good. Jeremy, take us out of here.
I'm the evil snowman named Jack Frost.